There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live, just after 6:20. Nick Harper on the line from New York again. Nick, welcome back.
Evening, Tim.
Good to have you on. Can we start with President Trump, surprisingly or not, giving more information about planned talks with North Korea's leader? The surprise that Mike Pompeo has been meeting with the leader of the country. But he's warning President Trump he'll walk out if things don't go well.
Yeah, which is very interesting because there is this line of thinking with diplomacy that ahead of any big talks, you really want to go into it trying to prepare the ground, gain some trust from the person you're going to speak to, perhaps give some reassurances. But of course, Donald Trump's doing it a little bit differently. Lots of tough talk from him saying that if the talks aren't proving fruitful, he'll quite simply get up and walk out. He also says that he will continue the U.S. campaign of maximum pressure to try and get the North Korean people to denuclearize, get rid of all of their nuclear weapons and their testing that they've been doing. But yes, it came out earlier this week that the CIA director, Mike Pompeo, has traveled to North Korea. There was a secret meeting there with Kim Jong-un. Of course, Mike Pompeo, the man who could potentially become the next Secretary of State, he has his confirmation hearings upcoming very shortly. But they had that secret meeting. Apparently, it went well. Apparently, they've laid some good groundwork. As far as President Trump's meeting, could happen sometime in June. The location is unclear still, but there's five potential locations around the world, including Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia, potentially the demilitarized zone between South Korea and North Korea. South Korea's president will be meeting with Kim Jong-un in the next week or so, and then Mr. Trump's meeting will follow up a few weeks after that.
And Nick, we hear that investigations are continuing after a plane passenger died when she was nearly sucked through her cabin window. It now looks like the airline involved had a similar problem 2 years ago.
Yeah, terrible story this. This was the first passenger death on a U.S. commercial airliner in nearly a decade since 2009. Excuse me, it happened on a Southwest Airlines flight earlier this week. There was a fault with one of the engine fan blades. It broke off. They say that it had metal fatigue. That's the official term for it. It essentially broke off, went into the engine. It sent shrapnel flying into the window, broke that window, and the poor woman who was sitting in the seat next to that window, she was hit by the debris and nearly sucked out of the plane, and sadly, she died from her injuries. It's all being investigated, but what has come to light that there was a similar incident a couple of years ago, back in 2006. A plane had to make an emergency landing in Florida where they also had problems with one of the fan blades. And there are now concerns that this could be a problem for the whole fleet of Boeing 737-700s right across the U.S. They are looking into that, really trying to work out why that happened and if potentially it could happen again.
Nick, let me ask you about Starbucks closing 8,000 stores for, not for a long time, for a short time, I think it's an afternoon, to give employees racial bias training. It is one of the most remarkable pieces of viral video after two African-American men arrested while they were waiting for a friend in a Starbucks store. And Starbucks, of course, subject to a hashtag, shutdown, walkout hashtag at the moment, but taking it very seriously.
Taking it very seriously, a very strong response here from Starbucks in what for them is essentially a complete nightmare for public relations. Incredible video, as you said, these two black men in a Starbucks waiting for a friend. Staff get jumpy, they call the police, they're arrested, and they're arrested for trespassing, even though they are, of course, allowed lawfully to sit in a Starbucks and wait for a friend. And then this other incident came to light in California, where, again, there was an African-American man. He had been in Starbucks, he'd bought something, he was a paying customer. He was stopped from using the toilet, but then a white guy walks in. He hasn't bought anything, and he's allowed to use the toilet, whereas the African-American gentleman wasn't. So, yes, accusations of racial profiling, racial bias. We've had protests, these hashtags online, lots of calls to try and boycott Starbucks. And, yes, they say that they will close. The 29th of May is the date. 8,000 stores right across the U.S. will be closing. They will get this company-wide racial bias training, and we've heard from the Starbucks executive chairman who said he is embarrassed about all of this, and there is very much a need to educate our staff about what he's calling unconscious bias when it comes to customers.
And another story, Nick, you do always deliver when it comes to bizarre stories. This is a man from Florida who's ended up in jail after his own dashboard camera showed him carrying out a burglary. So odd that he even let the police look at this in the first place.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. These stories, they always seem to happen in Florida, by the way. It is the state that throws up some of the weirdest news in America. A guy called Javier Moran, involved in a car crash, spoke to police and said that another driver had cut him up, had caused the crash, and said that he had proof, and that was his dashboard camera. So he allowed the police to watch the video of that crash, but they found another video on the dashboard camera, which showed him, along with another man, breaking into a beauty shop. In this video, it shows Moran taking a baseball bat out of his car, and then the other guy breaks the glass door of the store, and then they go inside, they rob it. Funnily enough, he has now been arrested, and he's been charged with burglary. But incredible that he forgot that was on there, and then allowed police to look at the video. One of those dumb thief exploits, I think.
I love a dumb thief. I genuinely do. A man in Massachusetts, you outdo yourself with this next one as well, Nick. A man threatening legal action because his town says it needs to move his UFO memorial.
There's so much weirdness about this story. So first of all, there is a memorial, which they say is the nation's first off-world UFO incident memorial. It is in a very small town in Massachusetts. It dates back to a 1969 UFO sighting. It was only installed, the monument, in 2015. About 40 people from the town who all said that they witnessed this sighting back in 1969. They all got together. They funded the monument. They installed it in 2015. A little while after that, they were told that it was on town property, so it had to be moved. It was moved a mere 9 meters away, and they've now been told they've got to move it again, much further away. There's a guy who's fronting this campaign to stop this from happening. He was 9 years old at the time. He said he was in his car with his family. The car was flooded with what he called a self-contained glow. There was a sudden drop in barometric pressure. He found himself inside a hangar and woke up 2 hours later back in his car. But the odd thing was that his mum and his grandma, who had been in the car, had somehow switched seats during that 2 hours. He says the monument has to stay. The town says if the people behind the monument don't move it themselves in the next month, they're going to get rid of it for good.
So this man actually believes he was snatched by aliens for 2 hours and they moved seats in the car.
They did, yes. Apparently that was exactly how it happened.
he did say weird.
It's a little odd.
Nick Harper in New York. Good to talk to you, Nick. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.